Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, Zach, it's Ian. And from 2015, holy moly, from now, we're going to talk about Matthew Vaughn's adaptation, loose adaptation, you say, of The Secret Service, a comic by Mark Millar, known as Kingsman, The Secret Service. Mm-hmm. You got Colin Firth, you got Michael Caine, you got spy action, you got ridiculous credit sequence at the beginning set to Dire Straits, I Want My MTV, which I didn't like. I didn't like the credit sequence. I didn't like the song. I thought most of the other songs were
lasted like
20
seconds. What do you care?
It was just cheesy. It was a dumb way to set the stage for a movie. I didn't feel like it fit the rest of it very well.
It was explosions and the letters came out of the windows.
No, the letters were the exploding rubble. Yeah. And they turned into the letters.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's like something I think I would see in like GoBots the movie or something.
So?
It wasn't GoBots the movie. Anyway, I got past that. And everything else ended up being pretty enjoyable, I think. Once again, I liked the main character being the kid, the son of a guy who saves like the mentor character's life early on in the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's now a little older, and they establish that he's kind of, despite himself, not as bad a fuck up as he could have been, and not as much of a punk as you might expect him to be from seeing like the trailers and stuff. So they quickly kind of eschew that whole angle of like this guy's going to be like real chip on his shoulder, real difficult, smart ass, reluctant kind of thing.
Right.
Which is good. So they can just kind of get... I think a lot of movies are going that route now. They're like skipping the involved sequence of things to get to where we know they need to get. I mean, it's not at all the same thing, but like the prison breakout in Guardians of the Galaxy was the same thing. Where it's like, this is going to be another 20 minutes where they like slowly get the pieces that they need. And then it's like, no. Then the group just goes and like starts things and it just happens.
They're finding ways to slightly subvert the whole...
expectation.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like a positive side effect of people being, of audiences maybe being more savvy. It's almost like people will take it as written that this, this, and this. So you can almost just... say it in the movie, wink to the camera, and get ahead of it, which this movie does a few times about a few things, in terms of its, you know, kind of have its cake and eat it too, kind of glorifying and satirizing of spy movies, you know, like James Bond and stuff. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and like I said, the character interactions were effective, and the performances were good, and the action was cool, and there was a couple of sequences that were really engaging, and I think I had kind of mediocre expectations. You saw it before me and told me that you didn't like rave about it. You said, no, it's great, it's worth seeing. And so I think of the two or three movies I was seeing trailers for when I was seeing movies, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, this one I wasn't really thinking I would see any of them, but I was like hoping that one of them would be kind of fun. And this one kind of started to latch on. I'm like, when I saw it was like R-rated and stuff, that helped. The idea of doing sort of a semi-original action adventure.
It looked terrible to me. It looked like some YA stuff.
It did look a little bit like that, yeah. But then like you see it's R-rated, and you're like, oh, okay, well they're not gonna like be completely cheesified about it. And it definitely has a YA aspect for sure, but it's not, like I said, it's not steeped in the sense of franchise, so it's not like this is part one of, I mean, it's beginning, middle, and end. And it very much so, there's like a lot of things that happen at the end that kind of bring closure to the whole idea behind the story, I guess, on some level. And that was ballsy. I mean, we're just going to make an R-rated movie that's kind of a comic book movie, but kind of not, but kind of a spy movie, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think maybe I didn't have huge expectations, but I also was going into it with that quote-unquote positive movie-going experience. I heard from you that it was kind of good, and I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'll expect to enjoy this. I'll hope to enjoy it, and I'll want to enjoy it, as I usually do when I go into most movies. Because it's no fun being.
It was just much. It was much funnier than like mean, at this point, he's known for making comedic but subversive comic book adaptation type deals. And it was funny without being, like, mean and sadistic for the most part. Even though there's violence and stuff in it, and there's a couple of scenes that are controversial for various reasons. But it was just done so, like, lightweight and fun all the way through, which is weird considering some of the subject matter.
Right, it didn't abuse the R rating.
It kind of did.
But it also kind of didn't. Like, it could have been a lot worse.
It was violent, yeah, some pretty foul language. It ended on an anal sex joke. It's got that one scene which it was problematic to some reviewers, and then to other people, it was just like, first of all, that the fight scene in that church was impeccably choreographed and filmed.
Oh yeah,
it was amazing.
That was cool.
And then it was very problematic to a lot of people because, you know, it was some pieces of crap who...
People that didn't deserve to be murdered were murdered.
Yes.
In
but,
a glorified...
But that was the point. Was that it didn't matter. It was just... they were chosen randomly as a test, you know? Yeah.
Like you said, that's the subversive side. And that's what I kind of like. It's ballsy. They're pushing things in that direction, you know. And it's not a huge thing, you know? But, yeah, I agree.
I liked it. I gotta tell you, I was straight before I saw it, and then the handsome young actor who's the main star, you know, by the end you see him in that bespoke suit, all
right,
tailored up for him, and I decided I'm changing teams.
Go gay for Igsby, huh? Igsy or whatever.
Igsy. I don't even know what the actor's name. I'm not gonna find out. But
yeah, it's not important. But he was good.
Yeah, he was good. And Samuel L. Jackson, when I saw the previews, one of the things was like, oh, looks like YA. And then Samuel L. Jackson, like, there you go. That's the deal breaker. I'm not going to see it.
Oh, man.
Just because, like, he's in everything at this point, and he just about plays the same role at this point as everything else.
Right.
And, like, for a while, that's the way it seemed. He's got some sort of quirk. Whatever the quirk is, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
And it was just like he was speaking with his lisp. It was kind of annoying for a while. But the character was actually very different. And as it went on and on, like, he stuck to it. He stuck to the parameters they set for that character, which is like he really didn't like violence. He really didn't want to do bad things. He actually wanted to do good things.
Right,
he actually had like a big good, you know,
yeah,
a
it was
good
the,
goal.
It was the Bond villain scheme,
and,
yeah.
And that whole Bond villain touch where he spoke, you know, it was the thing, like, you know, the each act had a moment where they talked about the Bond villain thing, and,
right? Yeah,
and that conversation he has with him at the very end was pretty funny. He's like, hey, bro, what's going on?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And he says in the line, he's like, awesome, good.
Yeah, right. He's like, no, that's good. That's good. That'll work. Yeah,
but he was really good. He had some good lines. He ended up being way better than he should, and. You know, kudos to modern casting directors.
Mm-hmm.
The women in that movie were really hot. They really were. I said I turned gay a little bit ago, but I just blew my cover. I'm not.
I'm
women
trying,
were super hot.
I don't remember. There was the girl.
The slicey knife leg lady
knife
was
leg
super
leg
hot.
Worked for you.
And
okay.
that girl who was like the you know, the person who actually made it instead of him because she tried to shoot her dog.
Right, the power suit girl.
Yeah, she was pretty hot too.
Okay.
And I don't feel bad saying that because I know for a fact that everyone who plays a high school age person in any movie ever is at least 30 years older than that.
Okay. Okay, good. Don't feel bad, Zach. It's okay. I mean, we talked about this before, too, you got Mark Strong in there, who usually would be the villain. And
yeah, Mark Strong has played villains in many things.
And I love seeing a character who's usually cast to be like the third act reveal of the bad guy.
Yeah.
He gets to not be that.
Yeah, he just had a good guy role. He was reliable. And you know, they did the whole, there was the good beat thing where he was a hard ass and he busted their balls a little bit. And then at the end, he's like, you know, they're like equals, basically.
Yeah.
He still knows more than him, but
No, that was good. And Firth was good.
Yeah, Firth was good. Firth was good.
He did it for real. He didn't like act like he was above the material or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I liked it. I think I give it a 4 because it was enjoyable. And it was.
You mean only half a star less than you give Sneakers?
Only half a star less than what I gave Sneakers.
Jeez
Louise. It's been good movie times for me lately. Yeah. What about
you? What's the lowest rank you've given something?
I think I gave I'm completely blanking on the name now. Oh god, I hate that. What was the Will Eisner, Frank Miller directed?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. God, I had like the Spectacle, the Spectre, the the Spirit. I think I gave The Spirit 1.5.
Yeah, that's a horrendously bad movie.
I'd still like to try that again, to watch that movie again one more time. I might not dislike it as much. That was a seeing it with a bunch of people at the theater, kind of expecting it to be good, and then it just wasn't that great. It was kind of disappointing. I don't know that that's as bad as I would give it, seeing it a second time, kind of more sobered up, as it were. But yeah. No, I mean, I usually don't... I'm a little prejudicial, and I can avoid a lot of things that I would normally not care for. You're right, I might miss out on a hidden gem or something that might surprise me, but that's why I go with my mood, too, you know? It's nice, you can cue stuff up and be like, you know what, I'm not in the mood for this now, but I might get a kick out of that idea and check that out later, you know? And then you can watch it when you feel like watching it, you know? Like, I've got, like...
You can always
watch it. I got Chef on my Netflix queue, and I know that if I'm in the wrong mood and I watch it, there'll probably be, like, a whole star difference in the rating.
Chef Goldblum?
That was good. Was that in the movie?
I don't remember if that was in the movie.
I think it was in the movie.
Yeah. I'm Chef Goldblum.
Yeah, I think I drank a whole bottle of wine and watched that movie one night. And
yeah, and you inexplicably liked it.
I didn't inexplicably like it.
You did inexplicably because you hate...
You always say
fiery
this.
Passion, you hate Tim and Eric.
I do not.
And all
I've
you're not a comedy guy.
I've said this for years about 40% of the Tim and Eric stuff I find hilarious. And about 40% I find just bland. And then about 20% I find frustratingly like uncreative and tedious and derivative and annoying.
That's a really bad percentage. So you hate it. You hate Tim
40% hilarious for any kind of comedy.
And then like the movie was just so bad through most of it. And you just loved it.
Like I said, a bottle of wine doesn't hurt, does it? Not when you're trying to enjoy something. Ray Wise and the Shrum or whatever the hell was
Shrem.
It? Shrem, yeah.
Shrem.
Yeah, that was great. That was not great, but whatever. So what do you give Kingsman?
I like that part in a billion-dollar movie where at the end he's like telling that kid like how much he appreciates that he allowed him to become his dad after he had his dad killed or whatever.
I don't even remember, he's like,
I need you for one more thing. And he picks up the kid and throws him in the air and the mobsters shoot him with a rocket. That was great.
Oh my god. I don't remember most of what happened in that movie.
I give Kingsman a good solid 3.5.
Okay, that's good. We're in agreement. We have consensus now on that.
See how that works? I enjoyed Kingsman. I gave it half a star more than Sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoyed Kingsman. You gave it half a star less than Sneakers.
That's how things go sometimes.